We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
There's something about roll me in designer sheets. I never get enough. I love that. I love that lyric. There's a couple of songs where lyrics jump out at me. This one, Call Me by the great Deborah Harry Blondie, which was from the movie American Gigolo with the very, very handsome Richard Gere. And then, of course, Billy Joel's song that both Bernie and I can appreciate, Big Shot, where you've got the Dom Perignon in your hand and the spoon up your nose. That's some other great lyrics.
What was the sheet line? Repeat that again, please.
Roll me in designer sheets. I never get enough. A young, hot Deborah Harry, a.k.a. Blondie.
Man, she was something else, boy.
She was something
back
else.
In the day.
Yeah, she was great. I loved her. Yeah, so that's how we start your Tuesday morning. You know, it's funny I say that, too, because one of the stories that I read this morning in preparing for this show, above and beyond all the stuff we're going to cover today, was there was a column by Dr. Ruth in today's New York Post, and she's talking about sex post-COVID. Sex post-COVID.
Oh, my God.
Did you see the column?
I saw the column, but I did not read it.
So she goes into specifics, and she says, listen, people are kind of freaked out over COVID. Now it's time to get back into it. She talked about pleasuring yourself, all this stuff, which it's very early in the morning. I know. But she did say.
Call it a day.
That the best time of day, which I completely disagree with, to have sex is the morning. She says that the men's testosterone level in the morning is at its highest. I don't feel that way. I'm tired in the morning. I like it at night. And for women, it's a perfect way to start the day. So she claims, Dr. Ruth, that yes, early in the morning, roll me in those designer sheets. I never get enough.
I'm going to skip on breakfast this morning. Dr. Ruth talking about sex at this point.
I'll tell you this, Bernie.
She's past the expiration.
In a long history together now.
And yes, we had her on. She was a great guest. She was funny, actually.
She was very funny.
It was a novelty.
Yeah.
But at this point, sex advice from Dr. Ruth.
You know who's very close with her is Joan Hamburg. They're very, very close.
Very tight.
Yes.
Well, not that tight.
No. In fact.
No, they're not having sex in the morning together.
No, they're not. But the day when we had the Israeli Independence Day, and I got to host with Joan Hamburg 1 hour that day after our show, she was a guest, Dr. Ruth.
And you stepped aside.
I stepped aside.
Wisely.
Wisely.
Yeah, because Dr. Ruth insisted when she came in with you and I that she did that there would be no sex talk.
No sex talk.
No,
and of course, it deteriorated before you even could think about it.
Sid had his pants down. He was like, what do you think of this?
I just remember the picture we took after the conversation at our old Madison Square Garden. She was like in the middle of us, and it was like almost like a trapeze. We were had her like on a swing.
You know what it was like? It was reminiscent of that Joe Biden, Jill Biden, Jimmy Carter, Rosalind Carter picture.
Yes.
Where we looked like giants. And
what am I doing here?
You know, like they, you know, I don't know how they affected that. They look like giants compared to the Carters.
Yes.
And we were just like,
huge.
Right. From Jonathan Swift, Gulliver's Travels.
Very good.
You ain't black.
And she was a Lilliputian.
Lilliputian. Well, that makes for the perfect transition from Sex in the Morning and Blondie and Dr. Ruth to Joe Biden. It seems like, at least from yesterday, that good old Joe, and yes, nobody does that better than us. Nobody. Good old Joe and Kamala. Not big in Guatemala.
How funny was that?
That was great. Somewhere Donald Trump, right? You talk about Dr. Ruth and pleasuring yourself, somewhere Donald Trump was happier than ever.
Listen,
that sounds so
good.
Let
me just tell you something. These socialist countries, they know what's up. They don't like it. I mean, of course, they want to come here still, but yeah, they're booing Kamala Harris and also a big banner. Trump won in Guatemala. How freaking great was that?
Isn't that nice?
And also too. By the way, I didn't realize this until last night, but a little phony Fauci and a non-Dr. Jill Biden when they made that trip to Harlem. Mm-hmm. They were actually really vociferously booed. Fauci, you're a killer. You're a murderer.
Really?
Fire Fauci. F Biden, F Joe Biden in Harlem.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, this was actually. You, do you have that? You want to play it? Just listen to it. Listen to it. This is Harlem.
Shocking.
And it went out for a long time.
That is shocking.
That's a taste for you. Yeah.
Well, maybe they're not fooling everybody. You keep saying that. O'Reilly hints at that, too. And maybe you guys are right. I'm not sure you are, but I hope
see
you
that,
are.
By the way, you didn't see that on the fake local news.
No, of course not.
Or the fake news in national news. You didn't see that anywhere. You heard it here on the Bernie and Sid.
I tell you, I got to hand it to Bernie.
Thank you, President
what
Trump.
What you did see today in today's New York Post is the continued lying and hypocritical statements made by Democrat candidates, one that received an endorsement just a couple of days ago from AOC, and it turns out that she is a liar, she's a hypocrite. We know all this already, but it's so beautiful when somebody, whether it's you, Bernie, or the New York Post, or Fox News, or Newsmax, when they point it out, it really is gorgeous.
It's delicious, as they say.
It is delicious.
Yeah, you're talking about Maya Wiley.
That's right.
Spectacular.
Front page of the New York Post. Nice picture of her, too.
Not a great picture. She's otherwise a very good-looking woman. Yeah. Anyway, what?
and one of upstanding character as well.
Oh, yeah, she's great. 1-800-848-WH.
We will tell you about it in the next segment.
Yes, 1-800-848-9222. Three great guests stopping by today. And there is one tragic note we have to get to. A good friend of ours, dear, dear friend of mine, passed away early this morning in Las Vegas. We'll get to all of that.
Oh, the candles can do miracles. Just you wait and see.
Three big guests stopping by this Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid. It's not a Tuesday without the great Bo Deedle. He'll be here coming up at 7:25. New York Post columnist Miranda Devine. She'll be here at 8:05. And we'll resurface Chris Matthews, former MSNBC star, coming up at 9:05. But talking about Miranda Devine and the New York Post, Bernie, you mentioned it. The cover of today's New York Post blows the lid off of someone that Greg Kelly just told me Sunday on the boat that he thought may win the mayoral race, and we're talking about Maya Wiley, this Post cover, not good for her.
And it, well, no, not good for her, but to the people who may vote for her, who knows? Look, these polls are shaky. Anybody could win. A very, 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 very small amount of people are going to vote for mayor in New York City. It's really disgusting.
Even with all the problems going on right now, although, again, yesterday the latest poll comes out, and again, for whatever it's worth, like you just said, Bernard, Eric Adams has a sizable lead over Yang and Stringer, and Maya Wiley, at least in these polls, nowhere to be found.
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth place with 9%. Eric Adams, 22%. Yang, 16%. Garcia, 15. Garcia, by the way, is Polish. She was, I think she was adopted. Stringer, and then Maya Wiley with 9%. Stringer with sex harassment problems. But anyway, on the front page of the New York Post, the thing is this. The lady screaming for defund the police. She lives, by the way, she's one of these, social justice warriors, equity for everybody.
Well, she's a rights attorney.
She's a socialist, essentially, right? She lives in a $2.7 million house in Brooklyn, in Prospect Heights. $2.7 million with her own private security. The neighborhood hires private security that she pays into.
Well, she claims she doesn't pay into it, that it's, in fact, her significant other who went and did this without even telling her.
Oh, well, let me just say this. Her significant other, he could be a white supremacist. Very possible. Just like AOC's significant other could be a white supremacist. These real progressive ladies out there. Just FYI. I mean, everything these days is race. You got to identify people by race, according to the New York Times, the Washington Post. So I follow instructions like they tell me to. Anyway, so that's the hypocrite that is Maya Wiley. Meanwhile, black kids, black people getting murdered left and right in the streets, and she wants to take more money away from the cops.
She's pathetic.
She certainly is.
And Eric Adams continues to tell everybody that while he doesn't want to defund the police, he is all for these like civilian groups, I guess, I don't know, social workers or volunteers. Listen, I don't even know what it is, going out there to help combat crime, which is ridiculous, of course.
Let him, just keep in mind that he's running in a primary and he's got to appeal to a certain crazy group out there in addition to the sound individuals.
Yeah, but I will say this, if you read today's column, I know he has to appeal to those people, but there's no reason why Adams should be crushing Rudy Giuliani. And I don't want to hear that he wants to go back to the David Dinkins days, because I remember those David Dinkins days, and
no.
I remember Jews and blacks not getting along, murders in the streets. So I don't know who he's appealing to, but he says this morning in today's New York Post, I'm bringing us back to the Dinkins days, not Giuliani, because Giuliani was racist, the way the cops handled folks. That's not cool.
That's not going to serve him well in a general election.
No.
Mentioning Dinkins, are you kidding me?
Yes.
That's like saying, it's like Biden campaigning on going back to the Carter days.
He actually said that forget about Rudy Giuliani. They give him all this credit for saving the city. It was David Dinkins.
And you know what Curtis said last week? But believe it or not, at one rally or other, I forget what it was. He says, when I get back in, when I get into City Hall, it's going to be Giuliani time.
Perfect. I love that. I love it.
And you know who said that first? Allegedly said that first was Abner Louima said that the cops, before they assaulted him, said, it's Giuliani time. It turns out it wasn't true.
Right.
By Curtis saying it just made me laugh.
By the way, Eric Adams has not come on the show yet, despite Eric Ulrich, Queens councilman, reaching out to me, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. And Eric Adams sitting 2 feet away from him at lunch, at dinner. Still no Eric Adams on the Bernie and Sid show.
What the hell is he afraid of?
He is scared of Bernie and Sid. He's going to run New York City, but he's scared of Bernie and Sid. Somebody explain that. Joe, can you explain that to me?
No, I can't. No.
Come on, Joe. Figure something out.
Well, I'm scared of Bernie and Sid.
By the way, as you should be, we've got the Bully Pulpit 3.5 hours every morning. Keep that in mind, folks. Big wins last night for both the Brooklyn Nets. They are now halfway to the Eastern Conference Finals. Flatbush Avenue celebration last night. And the Islanders now just one win away from third round Stanley Cup playoff action. We'll get to all of that coming up at the bottom of the hour, as well as the WABC clip of the day. And of course, Joe Nolan providing the best traffic all morning long here on Bernie and Sid. And of course, at 9:40, Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers beat Bernie. Your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug, all brought to you by Pete Morgan, Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com and paviliontankless.com.
Yeah, paviliontankless.com, indeed. Hey, listen, I talked yesterday about the kid, the 10-year-old kid, Sean in Rockaway. There was also another tour.
Oh, that kid, Justin, today would have been his 11th
birthday.
11th birthday,
right.
Yeah,
really,
today.
Really, really sad, awful, terrible. And it's funny how the left calls it, he was a victim of gun violence, just another victim of gun violence.
Right.
Excuse me, he's a murder victim. He's a crime victim. Another black child murder victim. Another black crime victim in the city. Stupid, simple Steve Lacy on Channel 5 and the rest of you fake news idiots. And also a tourist in Times Square on Sunday at 7 o'clock, punched right in the face, was a woman, punched in the face, 4 kids. I'm guessing they were not white supremacists. 4 kids punched her in the face and took her cell phone. Times Square. And we're going to bring back tourism here to New York. We talked about Kamala Harris down in, of course, Guatemala. And they had the big Trump won signs out. They were booing her. Trump won. This, that, and the other. And she said, she actually said that she encouraged people. She said she was encouraging people not to come. Tell me if you think this is convincing.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come. We, as one of our priorities, will discourage illegal migration. And I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back.
You believe. You believe.
Yeah.
Hey, geniuses, they're not turning anybody back. They're not and that's the way to stop illegal immigration is not these root cause issues. And by the way, nation building never, ever, ever works. Throwing money at a nation, it doesn't work. We did it with Africa. We did it in Central America. The governments are corrupt. The money never reaches the people it's meant to reach or affects the projects it's meant to affect. It never, ever does. And the NGOs, they say, okay, we won't give it to the government. We'll give it to some NGO, these non-governmental organizations. They're all like Marxist organizations, and they're corrupt as well. It just does not work. We've given money for years and years and years. The way to stop illegal immigration is to turn people away, to deport people who come here illegally. That
right.
is it.
That's
it's
it.
Not over and out. That's it.
Nice and easy.
It's not rocket science.
And finish that damn wall down there,
build
too.
Build that wall.
Don't be stupid.
But re-implement, remain in Mexico. And whatever people come here illegally, you send them back. And they say to other people, well, I made that trek. It was terrible. It was horrible. And then they just sent me back. But bingo. Problem solved. End of story. That's it. That's Kamala Harris down there. And that Joe Biden makes me sick to my stomach.
Why? What'd he do now?
This guy, remember I told you yesterday that on Sunday he literally ignored the 77th anniversary of D-Day. You know, the day that we were fighting actual Nazis, not these mythical Nazis that people talk about, the left talks about these days.
Right.
He told
that was, of course, the day that the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
Right. So he actually tweeted out that day something about the Tulsa thing, which he had done all week long. Great. Listen, we can't forget that. That's fine. Yesterday he tweets this out. This is a little bit of garbage. To transgender Americans across the country, especially the young people who are so brave, I want you to know your president has your back during Pride Month and all the time. But to the veterans of D-Day or you know, just to commemorate
nothing.
What a day that was.
Nothing.
That the United States, one of the biggest, greatest accomplishments of the 20th century, crushing Nazism, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. And listen,
how dare he?
And even the week before that, Memorial Day weekend, and Memorial Day that Monday, Kamala Harris snubbed our veterans too. So this administration seems to think that gay people, and God, we love gay people, we're all for it. Listen, I'm as liberal socially as any one of you. I am. I'm all for gay marriage. I'm pro-choice. I'm all that good stuff. But they seem to think that gay people are more important than the men and women, whether they're gay or not, who put their lives on the line every day so we can watch Brooklyn Net games in this country.
This is true. But in this case, we're talking about transgender people. Now, look, I don't want to discriminate against them, but there's a whole thing. I don't know if you remember a couple of weeks ago. Nobody watches 60 Minutes, but I saw the clips. Leslie Stahl did a whole piece on transgenders. It's a mental disorder.
Oh, there's no question.
These people are screwed. The highest suicide rate of any group in the country.
Yeah.
And a lot of regrets after having the forcing kids to have these surgeries. Blah, blah, blah. But and of course, the whole idea, the notion of having boys playing in girls' sports that this imbecile in chief supports. The whole thing is screwed up upside down. 2022 and 2024 can't come fast enough.
Can't come fast enough. And Trump talking yesterday about, forget about Mike Pence, Ron DeSantis. Looks like the perfect guy to run alongside me. And, of course, you and I are both huge fans of that choice. As we are, when it comes to traffic, no better choice than the man right now joining Bernie and Sid, Joe Nolan. Good morning, Joe.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
All right, folks. Little 38 special for you. Get your rocking on a Tuesday morning. Keep it right here. Big show. Bo Deedle, Miranda Devine, and the resurfacing of Chris Matthews, only on the Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
She'll hit you deep inside, but there's a secret she has.
Bo Deedle's going to stop by in about 19 minutes. Miranda Devine and Chris Matthews, too. One quick note before Bernie gets us back to the meat of the day. Did lose a dear friend earlier this morning in Las Vegas. You know, I got my first shot at radio in New York the year before I met Bernie, when I was hired to host mornings back in the year 2000 at 102.7 FM WNEW. And they brought me and my Florida partner at the time, Scott Kaplan, to New York. Long story short, they got rid of Scott. And eventually that WNEW morning show was me and a guy named Craig Carton. You may have heard of him. He's now at WFAN. Anyway, long story short. Again, Jim Fossil was the coach of the Giants at the time. We were doing a sports show. Fossil started coaching the Giants in 1997. He actually won Coach of the Year that year. His quarterback, Danny Cannell, and the Giants went to the playoffs. They lost to Minnesota. And then he coached the Giants to a Super Bowl, which I worked with Craig Carton, Super Bowl 35 in 2000 in Tampa, where the Giants got crushed by the Baltimore Ravens. He went on to coach the Giants until 2003. And he and I became great friends. You know, it was a big deal for me. I'm new in the business. I'm only a couple of years in New York. I'm a diehard Giant fan. I'm hosting the Giant pregame show at the stadium. And Jim Bossel, every summer, he lived in Hohokus, New Jersey, which is right next to where your cousin Steven is a politician.
Yeah, right.
Woodcliffe Lake, I think.
Exactly.
So he would hold this barbecue in his backyard in Hohokus, and he would invite selected members of the press. And he invited me and my wife one summer. We're sitting there in his backyard, me, Chris Russo, Harry Carson, all these guys. And then he invited us into his basement, and he started showing us film of the Giants and what he expected to see during training camp. And then we would text each other. We got that close. And obviously, as you know full well, Bernie, after he was gone in 2003, he and I remained very, very close. And he's been on my shows between Miami and with you in New York every year on September 11th. And you say, why is that? As we get ready 3 months away from commemorating 9/11. That's because the night before September 11th that year, the Giants opened the season playing Monday Night Football against the Denver Broncos, Monday night, September 10th, right before the attacks. Giants got back from that game early Tuesday morning, and Jim Bossel tells the story that they landed at Newark Airport, and they pulled right next to Flight United 93, which would be doomed hours later in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And he got to the stadium. He still had no idea what was going on. Then he saw what was going on, and they canceled football for a couple of weeks. He went down to the site. He was there with the players and, you know, with the cops and the firemen. So he joined me and Bernie 9/11 this year, as he did every year, Jim Bossel.
And he gets up very, very early to do so because he's out in Nevada.
In Vegas, that's right. Yeah. So he would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to hop on with me and Bernard. So just two quick clips of Fossil with me and Bernie this year. This clip, he talks about how he found out about 9/11 that Tuesday morning, when in fact the Giants landed in Newark after their loss Monday night to Denver.
We landed, we went back to where our offices are, and took a shower, woke up, and I went into my office and I started working, and then my secretary came in and said, Jim, turn your TV on, a plane just went into one of the towers. And that's how I heard at the beginning.
So he also went on to tell me and Bernie that the next couple of days, you know, there's a lot of parking lots next to Giant Stadium, and folks park their cars, specifically in Secaucus, and they take the train into Manhattan and go to work. And he noticed something very eerie about those parking lots days after the 9/11 attacks.
After 9/11, there was a lot of cars. When I drove in at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, there was a whole bunch of cars. And that's not normal. Those were cars of people that drove there and perished. And it made me sick to my stomach to look at those cars and those people died.
So my friend Jim was rushed to the hospital by a buddy of his. He drove him to the hospital last night in Vegas. And a few hours after that, he suffered a massive coronary and died. So Jim Bossel, 71 years old, Super Bowl coach for the Giants, and more importantly, a dear, dear friend. Rest in peace.
Very sad, very sad. Good guy, yeah, terrible, and I feel bad. And my condolences to you, because I know he was close to you. So
he loved you too. So thank you,
his family as
thank
well. Hey, listen. Tough segue, but President Obama sat down with one of your favorites, Anderson Cooper.
I saw some
last
of this
night,
yeah.
And of course, this is a huge, huge issue right now. And these Democrats are trying to brush it off like, oh, this, listen to what they're worried about. It's not really important. And it is, of course, this critical race theory. It's one of the top five issues, really. Top three, maybe. They're trying to brainwash an entire generation. And of course, turning kids against their parents. The kids don't even go home and disagree with their parents. They have contempt for their parents. That's what they're teaching them. And of course, disrespect for the police, et cetera, et cetera. White people are racist. Blacks are victims. They can't make it. They're not that smart. Whatever the hell they're telling them, it's disgusting. But that's what they're doing. Anyway, Obama talked with Anderson Cooper about that. Take a listen.
You would think, with all the public policy debates that are taking place right now, that, you know, the Republican Party would be engaged in a significant debate about how are we going to deal with the economy, and what are we going to do about climate change, and what are we going to do about, lo and behold, the single most important issue to them apparently right now is critical race theory. Who knew? That was the threat to our republic.
You see, they want you to don't pay attention to this. Don't pay attention to what we're doing. This is, and they know what they're doing. It is really, really insidious. And that's why it's so important. And that's why I loved it. I played it yesterday. I had first crack at it. That's what I love about this show on a Monday morning. I had first crack at this lady in the Carmel mom in up in Putnam County at the school board, lecturing this the school board on teaching this disgusting, ugly, racist, anti-cop, critical race theory nonsense. And another guy was really, really enamored of the whole thing was Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly actually played the whole 11 minutes. He opened his show with it, played it from 7 o'clock till 7:11 last night. I'm not going to play the whole thing here, but this was Greg Kelly introducing. The lady's name is Tatiana Ibrahim. She's actually a Christian. She's married to a Muslim, but they're teaching critical race theory at her school. Anyway, listen to Kelly introduce the clip and some of the clip. Take a listen.
I've been waiting for somebody like this, for a moment like this. The video was of Tatiana Ibrahim. Now, she is the mother of a young girl who goes to public school in Putnam County, New York, north of New York City. Tatiana goes before her local school board, and she strikes back. She strikes back at the insanity of critical race theory. She strikes back at the insanity that some schools are teaching hatred of police officers. She strikes back at the insanity of cancel culture. Now, ordinarily, we would take a video like this and splice it up into a couple of sound bites. I can't do that right now. You've got to watch it in its entirety. If I could show you Paul Revere's speech, I would not cut it up. So it's about 10 minutes long. I think it's worth every second. I think you're going to like it. I think you might be inspired by it. Tatiana Ibrahim before her local school board in Putnam County, New York.
Good evening. My name is Tatiana Ibrahim, and I'm here for the first time. I'm here tonight not only as a community member, but as a parent in this district. Recently, you sent out a survey wanting to know why parents were not voting yes for this budget. So my situation, my vote for no is a little different. I think the Board of Education and those sitting on the panels are thieves. I think they're liars and have committed treason against our children. My message to this district and the members of the Board of Ed, stop indoctrinating our children. Stop teaching our children to hate the police. Stop teaching our children that if they don't agree with the LGBT community, that they're homophobic.
So, that's great. Obama, listen, we're not going to be fooled by your, don't listen to this, that this is a non-issue. It is a huge, huge issue.
Yeah.
And we can multitask. We can worry about the economy and foreign policy. We are worried about it, and we're fighting back on that as well. But look, I'm not going to play the whole 11 minutes of the lady because, well, we just don't have time. But I will play her close. Her close was very, very strong, very, very. Turn up the radio. Listen to Tatiana Ibrahim lecture the school board as they try to shut her down.
We have rights.
And you're making general assumptions?
No, I'm not making assumptions. I'm not. I know what I'm speaking about. See, I don't agree with you, so it's an assumption.
Well, I'm not going to engage in a back and forth with you about this. So if you would like to make an appointment, I would be happy to sit with the superintendent.
I don't want to. The superintendent, the assistant superintendent already sent an email and stated that they had no idea that these books were being put on in the students' hands. The superintendent already stated that they had no idea that the funds of taxpayers were supporting this. Black Panthers. Do you know Black Panthers is a domestic terrorist group? Do you know that it was condemned as a terrorist group? Do you know they kill cops? I have a problem when you're trying to kill a police officer. I have a big problem with that. I have a problem when teachers are passing out flyers, recruiting children to go to the courthouse to protest Black Lives Matters. When you have people sitting with signs that says all cops are bastards. Really? All cops are bastards? No, I think you people are, because the way you're acting and the way you're treating our children and our police officers and making them believe that it's okay to abuse them, I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and let you do that.
I
will become your worst nightmare because I'm going to stand here and keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. This won't be the last of me. I want everyone to know what's going on because you're hiding it. You're hiding it. You know who does that? Communists do that. That's what you're doing, recruiting children. Children! You're recruiting children to hate our police officers. How dare you? You have a librarian in the high school passing out Black Lives Matter pins. When a student asks for a blue life, why would I have that? Why would she have that? What did you do for police week? Why don't you tell me, sir? What is it you want to tell me?
You've had your 2 minutes.
I don't need 2 minutes. I can go as long as I like.
No, that's not the board.
No? Oh. Where does it say that I can't? Is there a law against that?
We do have a policy.
A board policy. Who makes these board policies?
The board.
The board. And who pays the board?
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody? The chair you're sitting on, we pay for it. The lights that are on, we pay for it. We pay for everything. You want to silence me because I spoke the truth. I spoke the truth. Everyone out there heard me. Whether they agree or they don't, they're going to start looking into it. And now you're exposed. That's all. It's going to end. This indoctrination and hatred towards our police officers, the systematic racism and cancel culture, it's going to end. You came to the wrong school district to do this, okay? You need to respect every child. So therefore, no politics should be discussed in school. Rather it be conservatism, democratic, liberalism. You gave a survey after the elections. Why? Why did you ask students who they voted for? What did it matter?
Bingo.
No answer, huh?
No answer.
You have no answers for me.
Grant, I
didn't expect an answer. That's okay, though. We'll get them some way or another.
She's gone now. And in any case, she showed this moral courage, this moral confidence that this think tank guy, his name is Douglas Murray. I played this last week, but he was great. It's very short. Douglas Murray on telling people to get a backbone. You parents out there, don't let this happen to your kids. Listen to Douglas Murray.
When stupid, stupid people tell everyone else to educate themselves, when the least educated people in your society lecture the most educated and tell you to be smarter, have some confidence. Say, no, I'm not listening to this. I don't need to. I don't need to be talked down to in these terms. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad person because of my skin color, and I don't think anyone else is either. People just need to have a bit more moral confidence in America. Where did it all go? When did you lose it?
Well, we lost it when... it started when Donald Trump, of course, got robbed of the election, and it continues ever since.
Well, Tatiana is teaching people how to find it again.
Yes.
Find your pair, ladies and gentlemen.
She's a hero. We're going to talking about heroes to a guy that was also a hero, still is, many, many years, as one of the best cops in the history of this city. He's also a great actor and a dear friend of ours. Our Tuesday morning conversation with the great Bo Deedle is coming up on Bernie and Sid right after this.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Put this time aside every Tuesday morning to talk to this guy who's great, fan favorite. We love him to death. Hero cop for many, many years. Great actor. Really great actor. And a dear friend. And a guy that will call every now and then to see if you're okay. That's all you need to know about Bo Deedle. He's that good of a friend. Here he is for his Tuesday morning conversation, the great Bo Deedle. Good morning, Bo.
Big Bo.
Good morning. Good morning. And Sid, welcome back from your vacation. I hope you had a good time.
Thank you.
I was on with Bernie and the congressman. We had a great morning on last Thursday. Welcome back. There's nothing like, you're like salt and pepper. You're like frankfurter and mustard. You guys are great together.
Thank you so much.
That's
thank
high
you.
Praise.
Thank
high
you.
Praise.
But you know what? I've been listening to you guys about Eric Adams and all that. You know what? In life, you have to pick your poison, or you got to pick the best of the worst. And that's exactly what I've been doing. And I'm going to give you some reasons why. Because the things that you've heard so far with Eric Adams, I've been with him a real lot. And I brought up about the anti-crime. He now brought that up to face. He actually brought up about stop and frisk, using a professional manner to take these guns off the street. So, look, if he's going to play and pull a Biden on me, then he's going to have to live with me for lying to me. I really believe that he understands the whole idea of what he has to do. I said to him, when you debate, when you're out there, there are three main issues, Eric: crime, crime, crime. Everything else is bullcrap.
It's true.
And the reality is, when you get a socialist, a liberal like Snidely Whiplash there, Wiley Whiplash, whatever her name is, she's a friggin' hypocrite. She lives in a $2.5 million house now, I hear. She's got security, but she wants to get rid of half the police department. Again, this is what our choices really are, because if people don't believe me, remember when I ran, they knocked me off the Democrats, the Republican lines. The Democrats control this city, regardless of what you say, what you want to hear. So we have to pick the best that we can thinking that that person can bring us out of the doldrum we're in with the crime situation. I talked to him again, and I said, look, you've got to bring the police back where they feel comfortable and support them making arrests. I said, the headlock law is a friggin' baloney. I've locked up over 1,800 felons. I used a headlock hundreds of times. Nobody dies. You have to be able to get on top of somebody. I told Eric Adams, you get made mayor. I want to go before the city council. You can line up six guys over 6 foot tall, and I'll put a $1 million bond up. I'll give each one in order. I'll take them down with a headlock. Nobody's going to die. I'll put $1 million bond. This is such bull crap. What we have to do is have tools for the police where they don't have to shoot anybody.
He lost me this morning when he said he wants to go back to the David Dinkins days. I mean, after this putz, de Blasio, Dinkins may be the next worst mayor ever, and he called Rudy Giuliani's tactics racist. He lost me this morning.
What is he doing, Sid? He's playing to the masses. He has to get elected before he does anything. What are we going to do? We're going to let Wiley Whiplash there get elected or some other idiot? No, here's the problem.
We got to support Curtis Sliwa. That's who we have to support.
Okay. My problem here is you have to have electability. Otherwise, forget it. We can talk until we're blue in our face. Do I like what Curtis says? Of course I do. But you have to look at the reality. And anybody who lives in Disney World and doesn't look at the reality. Now, talking about bringing back community policing, that was one of my things when I ran for mayor. You have to have the cops active in the community. You have to open up high schools. Let these cops work overtime. Have communication with the young kids in the community. Give them job offers. Help them in their lives and all that. That is very important. So community policing, I even support along with enforcement. This comes part and part together, as far as I'm concerned. To be just the out there enforcing, you're not going to win some of these kids over. Some of these kids are so mixed up, 90% of them don't have fathers. Have the cops as role models, not just the big bad cops. Show them that you can maybe help them get a job. Have them as mentors, big brothers. Why not? Community policing is important along with enforcement. So it comes together as far as I'm concerned. And as far as what Eric's saying, he has to be elected before he could do anything. And if he doesn't get elected, and if one of these other idiots get in, we're in for a lot of trouble. So what we have to do, and if Eric Adams is doing a Biden on me, he won't forget both either. I'll put this on the radio right now. And you know I'm not afraid of nobody or to speak out. He has promised me a lot of things, and I told him, listen, Eric, I don't want to go into public in any kind of a job. I'd like to be an assistant to bring the police and the communities back together and teach cops. There are ways to fight with somebody and bring them down legally. We got to get rid of these moron laws. The diaphragm law, headlock law, and we have to look, when a cop does his job, there should be no reason why he should be able to be sued by civilly. These are things that we have to bring out. And if I have to, I love this city so much, if I have to, I will come back and help in some way to help these cops do their job.
Listen, I believe Eric Adams when he says he wants to get rid of crime. If he gets elected mayor, that will be his legacy. He wants a good legacy, whereas these other people like Yang and Stringer and Wiley and the rest of these, Sean Donovan, they don't care about crime. I believe Eric Adams is sincere when he says it. And yes, he's running to the left because it's a primary. But when he gets into office, I mean, that's what he's going to be judged on, whether or not he gets rid of crime. That's it. Bottom line, there's one issue, as you said. There's three issues, crime, crime, and crime. And that's that.
Excellent job, as always, Bo Dietl. That's such a great segment every Tuesday morning. And the fans love it because he speaks to the people and he talks about what we want to hear about. And he's always smart in his responses. So, as always, Bo Dietl, that's a great job.
He is the man.
So the weather, I guess, is going to get bad late today and tomorrow, which I have these tentative plans, you know. They're very, very tentative at best, to have an early dinner with Wendy Williams before my appearance on her show on Thursday. She's been hawking my china. She wouldn't admit that in public, but I'm telling you she has.
Say that again, please.
That's right.
Hawking your china?
How you doing?
I'm all right.
So, but I don't like to go out in the rain because my hair gets messed up, so. if it's going to rain this afternoon, I'm not going to go.
It gets frizzy, right?
Right, it gets frizzy.
Yeah, I hate
it gets,
that. So, I hate that. Frizzy and then...
yeah.
Just,
so that's going to be my excuse. When,
smells like a wet dog.
See what I'm saying?
No.
Mm. You know, it's funny you say that smells like a wet dog. I buy shampoo every couple of weeks. I go to Dwayne Reed.
That's funny.
It is funny. And my family has the same response. They're like, why do you buy shampoo? You don't have hair. And I said, let me tell you something. It's equally as important to keep my scalp clean and smelling nice as if I had hair. I mean, everybody I know that's bald still buys shampoo. Do you?
No.
You don't? Okay.
It's like a guy with, one arm.
Yeah.
He lost his right arm and he says, my right elbow is itchy.
What?
You know, it's just something in your head.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I just want to feel like.
Not on your head, in your head.
No, I don't buy the expensive stuff. I'll get like Pert. For $5, you know, or some, they get these like 3-in-1s.
Why don't you just use your kids and your daughters, your wife's shampoo?
I do that sometimes too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I use like 6 different products.
See, I'm a solution guy. I got solutions for you. I'll save you some money and time.
Well, will my excuse work later that my hair will get messed up in the rain, so I can't join you for a dinner? Will that work?
No. Come on, bro. Bro,
you go in my place. But give me this, and then you get back to the meat of the day. In the first, I don't know, 15 minutes, you're having dinner with Wendy. What is the conversation? What do you
like,
go?
Can you make this a double, please? Can you make this a double, and do you serve Valium? No, I love Wendy Williams, but going out to dinner with her?
Yeah, nothing fancy. She wants to do something very informal, nothing fancy. Just talk about what we're going to talk about on her show on Thursday. Mind you,
she wants to do show prep with you over dinner?
Yes, yeah. Mind you, she thinks...
Something smells fishy.
She thinks I'm married to Carol, which is hilarious.
That was funny.
That's your wife.
We're looking at each other like, what the hell is this?
She goes, Sid and his family are holed up there on Long Island. That's Bernie. And he's his wife, Carol. That's Bernie. But at least you know she listens to the show.
Right. Yeah. That's all right. Well, listen. So she got it partially right.
Correct.
So are you going to go out to dinner with Wendy Williams tonight or not?
I don't know. You'll have to tune in tomorrow to the Bernie and Sid show to find out. That's the beauty of this show. Sometimes you know what you're going to get. Sometimes you have no idea. Much like my life on a daily basis.
That's life. That's life. That's kind of weird. Hey, listen, a guy, a favorite of ours, Ron DeSantis. This guy was down in Florida and he was talking Fauci. And I mentioned earlier Fauci and non-Dr. Jill Biden were booed up in Harlem. Anyway, he was at DeSantis was at a Luke Bryan Brad Paisley concert.
He was?
Yes, he
I
was.
I love that.
And the crowd, I mean, just.
Was that in West Palm Beach? Do you know?
I really don't.
They have the Vodka Theater. They have a lot of good country acts.
I can
tell
you this. It was within the borders of Florida.
Right.
And wherever the hell it was, that's all that matters. And anyway, he got a great response from the crowd. Take a listen.
Florida chose freedom over Fauciism.
That's it. Florida chose freedom over Fauciism. That's why I brought up Fauci in Harlem. I hadn't heard that before, but in any case.
Panama City? Is that what you said? I'm sorry.
People love Ron DeSantis. And there are some people saying, I know you mentioned earlier, Trump said in an interview, he told Lou Dobbs that he's going to actually choose Ron DeSantis probably as his running mate. But people don't want him to leave the seat of governor in Florida. They don't want him to leave it. They want him to stay because it'll be a disaster without him. They need him. He's a strong leader. Who else is there? Who's going to replace him?
Well,
Matt Gaetz?
No, Rick Scott can do it again.
He moved on. He's a senator.
I know.
I think he wants to stay there. Jeb Bush, get out of town.
No. But they've had a run of Republican governors because, for example, like where I live down in South Florida, it's all run by Democrats, specifically Wasserman Schultz. She has a stronghold there in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale. But they do get their fair share of, unlike New York, Republican governors. So at least the odds are, unlike this place.
Oh, maybe the mayor of Miami.
Maybe. Suarez.
Suarez.
He could be that type of guy.
He could do it, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be good. Hey, listen, the imbecile in chief appointed some weakling, Tony Blinken, as Secretary of State. And believe it or not, they're allowing the Black Lives Matter flags to be flown around embassies around the globe. Our United States embassies are flying a Black Lives Matter flag. You cannot make this up. That is a terrorist organization, racist, Marxist. It's gotten people killed. It's gotten cops killed. Blacks are being murdered in the inner cities because of them. in record numbers. And yet, these morons, these pandering imbeciles, are flying the Black Lives Matter flags at embassies. So the weak-kneed Tony Blinken, who got bitch-slapped by the Chinese in Alaska, he was asked about that yesterday. Take a listen.
I think that, in fact, it actually puts our best foot forward, especially in countries that do not allow different groups, constituents, citizens to express themselves freely. We do. And I think that's actually a very important thing for the United States to do. And I believe that most Americans would support that as well. It's
no,
the essence
wrong.
Of our democracy.
You're absolutely wrong. But there's the new poll out. The majority of Americans do not approve of BLM. I know where I'd like to put my foot regarding this guy. That is, look, you wouldn't fly. First of all, it's a political organization. Let's say you don't agree that it's a terrorist organization. It's at the very least a political organization. Would you fly the NRA flag? I mean, of course not. You don't do stuff like that. Now, this MSNBC lady, she was on, they were doing a piece, Washington Post, this rhino, his name is Max Boot. He put out a column, said that Trump is still a threat. That many people underestimating Trump as a threat. Anyway, for some reason, they were talking to this woman. Her name is Mara Gay, and she was out on Long Island. The Gay was out on Long Island. I'm sorry, Gray? Well, it says Mara Gay here. Anyway, at Mara Gay. So listen, she was out there, and this is what she said in response to a question about seeing flags. Take a listen.
I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and in some cases just dozens of American flags, which... You know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this. And so until we're ready to have that conversation, this is going to continue. What really is concerning to me as well is it's not just Democrats in Congress. I think there's a large percentage of Americans, even some of my colleagues in journalism, who are invested in some way in pretending that this isn't the threat that it is.
Long Island is Trump country, lady. Hey, listen, if they can fly the BLM flag on U.S. embassies around the globe, individuals have the right to fly a Trump flag
of
or an American flag. She's upset that they're flying American flags.
Please.
This is MSNBC.
Would she have been upset on Sunday when we hit the Hudson River, John and Margot Katsimatidis and all of us, and all these boats had Greek flags? Would she be upset about that?
Yes, she would.
She would be, right?
Yeah.
What a jerk. What's her name again, this lady?
Mara Gay.
Yeah, she's canceled. Hey,
get her out.
We got a lot more to come here. Liddy Reports comes your way at 8:25, 9:40 this morning. Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers beat Bernie your chance at $100. And coming up in about 13 minutes, the best columnist in the business, New York Post columnist Miranda Devine, only right here on the Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid.
Ultimately, I'm always right.
The bluebird as she sings, the 6 o'clock alarm would never ring.
So according to a listener, Bernie played something from Greg Kelly earlier today. He played some of that lady's great, it wasn't a speech, I guess it was a...
she was lecturing the, she was fighting him back against CRT, against a school board.
Right.
A sneaky school board.
Right. And, Tatiana
Ibrahim is her name.
Right, in Carmel, New York, right?
That's right.
Okay. So, according to some listener, Greg Kelly, who did a very good job with that piece yesterday, of course, Bernie got there first, because Bernie always gets there first. But Greg does a terrific job. Greg's great. Saw him on the boat on Sunday, had that power dinner at Prime House New York in Garden City Sunday night with Bill O'Reilly and Mark Simone and DeMille and Peter King and a host of others. According to this listener, Greg Kelly was gushing about me yesterday. About me. I don't know what he said. I know he saw me and Danielle on the boat on Sunday. He was very, very friendly and very nice. So I need to find out what he said. So I don't know why, but when Greg brings us up, either me or Bernie, I need to know what he said. So why is that? Why do I care?
I'm not sure. I mean, this is your thing.
You want to know?
You told me off the air, and I was like, that's good. We should find out.
Even Bernie said we should find out. So, do you know anything about this meeting?
We're going to have his producer show up here in about an hour and a half.
Brian.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll grill him about
we'll
it.
We'll find out.
Yeah, Brian will tell us the whole thing. So, we have Miranda Devine coming up next. That's going to be great.
You know, there's a big... there's a big, I don't know, power outage or hacking. A bunch of companies down right now.
Well, it's been that way for a couple of hours. The New York Times, CNN, and it looks like another cyber attack.
It's Twitch, Pinterest, Reddit, The Guardian, Financial Times, Amazon, HBO Max, Hulu, Amazon Web. Yeah. Twitter, Google, Target, Spotify.
All of them.
And the two you mentioned.
Yeah, so we found out about this at about 5:45, but we have no real details yet. Cyber attack has been said, but we don't know yet. That's why we haven't covered the story in more detail. Miranda Devine and Chris Matthews, still to come. Don McLean once sang a song about the day the music died. You know that song. Well, according to Miranda Devine, who me and Bernie strongly believe is the best columnist in the country, in the New York Post, she claims that on February 19th, 2020, that was the day, much like Don McLean, that science died. Now, this article was so good yesterday. It was titled, Scientists Were Pushing Real COVID-19 Conspiracy, that Bernard here read almost all of it on the air yesterday. And that compelled us, inspired us to get Miranda on the show this morning. So here she is, the brilliant Miranda Devine. Miranda, welcome back. How are you, sweetheart?
Oh, thank you, Sid and Bernie. So nice of you. And I love the way you put music to my words.
You like that, huh?
It's fabulous. Your music's always very good.
It would have worked there, Don McLean, the day the music died. And but anyway, it was such a brilliant column. And you're right. Bernie and I have railed about this since day one, that a lot of the measures that have been taken by local governors and certainly this new administration have nothing to do with science. They're nothing to do with science, and that's what your column basically was about.
Well, I mean, we've always told by Democrats, follow the science, that they're the science-based party, and they listen to Dr. Fauci, and Dr. Fauci is all over the place. What is the science with Dr. Fauci? It's one thing one day, one thing another day. And, you know, you look at Florida and you compare Florida to New York, and even if you're talking about weather, compare it to California. Florida has done better on every measure, and yet it didn't do the drastic lockdowns, it didn't do the mask mandates, it kept the schools open, people had a life. And New York and California just killed people with the lockdowns. And Dr. Fauci said that Andrew Cuomo did a brilliant job. He said he was the model for how to run the pandemic. And he criticized Ron DeSantis in Florida. So, I mean, that says it all for me. He's sort of Dr. Fauci, the face of science in this country. And The Lancet is the most prestigious, the most respected medical journal in the world. And they ran that lying letter last year, February 19, 2020, a letter that from 27 of the world's most eminent public health scientists, they signed a letter and they said that the lab leak theory, that the virus escaped from a lab in Wuhan, China, the ground zero of the pandemic. They labeled the theory that it escaped from that lab as a conspiracy theory and labeled anyone, any virologist who thought that was a plausible theory and the most plausible theory, labeled them a kook and effectively silenced them for a year and a half. It's reprehensible what they did. I don't know how they can, continue on and hold their heads up.
They basically ran interference for the Communist Chinese Party, which committed an atrocity on the globe. They did it maybe for political reasons, probably for political reasons. And you point out, Miranda Devine on the Bernie and Sid Show from the New York Post in your column on this topic, of course, that it was this guy, Peter Daszak, who collaborated with Anthony Fauci. He was the liaison sort of to the Wuhan lab. Which he got these scientists to write this letter because they were covering up, as you point out, that was the day that letter was published, that journalism died or science died, excuse me, as you say.
But, and journalism, yeah.
And journalism, yeah. But the point is this, that Dr. Fauci with this Peter Daszak guy, they have their fingerprints all over the origins of the coronavirus. They have more blood on their hands than Governor Cuomo here in New York.
Well, look, Peter Daszak was collaborating for 15 years with the Bat Lady, Dr. Xi, at the Wuhan Institute. We know that. He co-authored papers with her. They were doing this dangerous Frankenstein research that's called gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses. The bat coronavirus that is the closest family member to COVID-19 virus that's killed millions of people is from that lab. They went out to a mine far away in China where miners had died from breathing in this bat poo, and they collected this virus and they were experimenting on it. And Peter Daszak has told us, oh no, they just locked it in a fridge and they did an experiment on it. As if no one believes that. And then he crept around sneakily gathering those 26 other signatures of those scientists. Why they were conned into doing it, who knows? You know, the cover-up is so abysmal and obvious now. I guess he thought he would never be caught.
Right.
But there was a fantastic group of journalist sleuths who did the FOI, did the Freedom of Information, found out that Peter Daszak had drafted that letter that those scientists signed for The Lancet and had gone around and got everybody to sign it. And he, in fact, was not going to sign it at first because he wanted his fingerprints right off it. And then I guess his ego took over, so he did sign it. But, you know, there are important virologists who signed that letter, and they must have known that, you know, I was talking to virologists who looked inside that virus, and they could tell, because they're experts, that there was something artificial about it. It looked engineered. It was just too neat. Someone said it was if someone went into the virus and sort of threw the furniture around. That's the way a virologist described it. Now, we don't see that because we're not experts. But when virologists describe that to you, they're saying, well, we don't know for sure that this was engineered in a lab, but it sure as hell looks it to my expert eyes. How did these 27 scientists not, I mean, they knew, so why did they write that dishonest letter? And the sad thing is that you know that scientists in China, they told lies because they would have been killed or their families killed, and some of them were killed. But in America, in a free country, there's no threat like that hanging over the heads of these scientists. So why is it that they hate Donald Trump? Is it that they're terrified that the funding for this dangerous research is going to dry up?
No.
Do they think that the public is so stupid and savage and awful that it needs to be lied to?
They are. Miranda Devine here at the New York Post. You go on in the column and talk about the culture wars and how Florida Governor Ron DeSantis fights back. And Bernie read this yesterday, to Bernie's credit, but it's got to be read again today. This is one of the paragraphs in your column. He says, but how hard is it to say that America is not evil? Police are not systematically racist. Men cannot be pregnant. Boys should not compete against girls in sports. Children do not have to apologize for the color of their skin. Equity as a Marxist concept is a Marxist concept. Antifa is a terrorist group. Facebook doesn't get to tell us what to think. And the intact nuclear family is the best way to raise a child. That was a brilliant paragraph.
You could drop the mic right there, right. Miranda. I mean, yeah, that was fantastic.
It was, because that right there explains why, A, Ron DeSantis is a magnificent choice if, in fact, Donald Trump doesn't want to run in 2024, at the very least his running mate, and also explains why this country is in serious danger.
Absolutely. And, you know, the great thing about Ron DeSantis is he understands that Republicans have to be aggressive. They can't just be, you know, sitting back and, doing defense every now and then. They have to aggressively be on the offensive because they didn't start the culture wars, but they have to fight them. You cannot be a Republican. You cannot be in Congress. You cannot be a politician anywhere in this country if you're on the Republican side, unless you are aggressively prosecuting the culture wars. And I think too many Republicans think, oh, no, that's messy. You know, we're just about the economy and, you know, making things work properly and the trains run on time. No. No, you have to fight the culture wars because, as Ron DeSantis said, you know, you can have a successful economy, he says, but if the underpinnings of the culture are being torn apart, I don't think that's a society that will be very successful. It won't be. It's communism.
Absolutely right. Miranda Devine from the New York Post on the Bernie and Sid show. Miranda, Joe Biden on Sunday completely ignored the 77th anniversary of D-Day, and he tweeted out about the Tulsa massacre. Again, he was in Tulsa. He gave a speech which was obscene. It was race-baiting. It was disgusting. It was trashing our country. And you wrote a column about that in which you asked, who was writing Joe Biden's speeches? Goebbels? I mean, it was brilliant, but sad but true.
Oh, I mean, it's that was just such an evil, malign speech and just deliberately designed to pit people against each other in this country, to make divides, to create segregation, to pit black against white. You know, I mean, it's beyond parody that this is the president who promised that he was going to unite the country, and he's doing deliberately the opposite. And I don't know why he's doing it. He's just reading speeches written by people who want to distract attention from the disasters that they're creating all over the country. Look at the border. I mean, maybe they don't want us to look at the border, so they have to create these other distractions, like a race war. People are being murdered. People are being attacked now because of this rabble-rousing that is coming right from the top of the Democratic Party. Just sick.
Yep, no argument. You're exactly right. Listen, Miranda, as always, your column was great. Your appearance this morning was fantastic. We love you. Keep writing. Keep coming by. Keep up the great work. Good luck with the book. All that good stuff. You're the best.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
You were great. Miranda Devine here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. And coming up later this morning, this is also very exciting, resurfacing. He's been gone for a while. Chris Matthews.
And he's not happy.
He's not happy.
No, he was not. He didn't want to leave that job.
No way, right?
No way in hell.
But maybe he'll be angry this morning.
Well, we'll find out in about less than an hour.
We can only hope. Coming up next, though, is Lydia Reports with Lydia Serrani. Keep it right here, Bernie and Sid, on a Tuesday.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this report is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world, it can change in minutes. And as a parent myself of little Julia, protect your entire family with this simple device. Simply go to LifeVac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. That's LifeVac.net. You guys played it earlier. Her scathing response to critical race theory, Tatiana Ibrahim, that Carmel, New York, that's in Putnam County, that's kind of like upstate New York. She was before the school board. She went viral. The first clip that was ever played anywhere was right here on Bernie and Sid. And then I had her on my show yesterday at 4 o'clock, and she was as lovely as could be. In fact, I think she might be my sister from another mister. She called me her soul sister. And I asked her, I said, what made you stand up? You know, because that takes a lot of guts. And you notice like nobody even kind of backed her up, and she just kept going and going for those 11 minutes. So I asked her, what made you do it? Take a listen to hear what she said to me yesterday.
What made you decide to stand up against the school board?
I'm fed up and I'm angry. And if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. I'm fed up with the abuse that our children are enduring, the confusion and the division that these people are doing to our innocent children. You know, nobody is born racist. Nobody's born hating. And they're screaming in the streets, oh, unity, equality. You know, we need tolerance and acceptance. Really? But it seems to only work on one way, right? It's a one-way road with these people.
Yeah, she's great. Hey, look, you keep reading these stories about, for example, the Dalton School with the pornography. The parents wanted to be anonymous. They didn't want to be on the record as complaining about their kids, their first graders being taught how to touch themselves and touching their peepees and masturbating and all this stuff. They were afraid to ask. I mean, you're abusing really sexually my child by talking dirty to them, and you want to remain anonymous? No, you need more women like that to speak up, to show some guts and actually call these people out.
Hold on a second. I must have been away on vacation last week when this Dalton. I know this.
Yeah. This is. Oh, you didn't hear about this?
Stop 1 second.
This was really, really,
you know, I used to
really
be,
bad.
I used to be best friends at Poly Prep with a kid named Lyle Wilpon. You may have heard of his last name. His uncle Fred owns the Mets. And his parents got upset with Poly Prep, and they took him out, and my parents took me out. They sent me to a yeshiva, Solomon Schechter, and they sent Lyle to Dalton, that Dalton school.
Right.
And what is this story now?
Well, of course, Dalton, 54,000 private school.
Right.
But they not only teach racism in school, and the blacks are not capable of passing standardized tests or whatever the hell they say.
Right.
But they also teach flat out pornography, masturbation. I'll give you a little bit of it. I'm not going to play the whole thing. But remember, they're playing it for first graders. Oh, and I'm shy to play it for our listeners.
I know.
Take a listen to this.
Sometimes I touch my penis because it feels good. Sometimes when I'm in my bath or when mom puts me to bed, I like to touch my vulva too.
Oh my God.
I mean, it gets so much even worse than that. First freaking graders.
That's horrible. Seriously, that's bad.
The point is this, though.
Why not go to school?
Where are people, where are parents like, by the way, the teacher teaching that stuff is definitely getting off on talking dirty to kids.
Well, there's no doubt.
There's no doubt about it. That person should be arrested and really just be castrated.
It's a woman.
Okay, well, what do you do to women? Whatever they do to women, do that.
Tie up the fallopian tubes.
Yeah, tie them up. Tie them up and then whatever. Just put her in and lock her up. So the point is this. Show some courage. Look, this is President Obama talking about.
Sorry, I derailed your conversation there for a second.
No,
that's
great.
That's good. Critical race. It's related. It really
it's all
is.
Together.
Critical race theory. They want to tell you, hey, there's nothing here. There's nothing happening. This is one of the biggest issues of our time. They're brainwashing a whole generation of people. And of course, they're doing it in the military, corporations, whatever. But the worst, of course, is K-12. We know it's been happening on college campuses. But listen to Obama talking to Anderson Cooper just, what, they're dismissing this. This is nothing. Listen.
You would think, with all the public policy debates that are taking place right now, that, you know, the Republican Party would be engaged in a significant debate about how are we going to deal with the economy, and what are we going to do about climate change, and what are we going to do about, lo and behold, the single most important issue to them apparently right now is critical race theory. Who knew that was the threat to our republic?
Hey, privileged Martha's Vineyard bro, it is a very important issue, stupid. Don't try to deflect. It is extremely important. You and your race-baiting wife out there in Martha's Vineyard making all this money, claiming to be victims. Shut up.
He actually went as far, I think, with Anderson Cooper to say that he would talk to the country about race. Let me remind everybody that black president, Mr. Obama, that's where Black Lives Matter was born, under his presidency, and all the lies that started in Ferguson, Missouri with Michael Brown, all that was born under his presidency. So the man who was going to help us heal all the race problems was the guy that made it 10 times worse, even for the next guy, Donald Trump.
Exactly. That's and you talk about privilege. Mm-hmm. People like him, LeBron, the princess of whatever the hell she is, and, you know, people like, they're privileged. They got the most privilege, the most immunity from criticism. Look, again, back to this. I've been exhorting Sid to go to his school board meeting for his son, or even his daughter at a public school, and make a spectacle of himself. Well, not like Tatiana did. She actually acquitted herself well. But just to go there and start yelling at these creeps for teaching them poison, propaganda, for brainwashing them. And this one guy, this think tank guy, is a British guy. His name is Doug Murray. He said it, and he said it best. I loved the way he said it. I loved what he said. This is what he said.
When stupid, stupid people tell everyone else to educate themselves, when the least educated people in your society lecture the most educated and tell you to be smarter, Have some confidence. Say, no, I'm not listening to this. I don't need to. I don't need to be talked down to in these terms. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad person because of my skin colour, and I don't think anyone else is either. People just need to have a bit more moral confidence in America. Where did it all go? When did you lose it?
I think he's Facebook friends with Tatiana.
Because, well, they should be.
She certainly she did what he was encouraging people to do.
Lydia is now Facebook friends with Tatiana. That's it.
I am Facebook friends. We've been texting. She's my girl.
Let me just say she's at Tatiana Ibrahim. At Tatiana Ibrahim 5. At Tatiana Ibrahim 5.
Perfect. All right, listen, Lydia, as always, that's a great, great report. So thank you.
When Sid is shocked, you know it's bad.
Now, listen, there's a difference, though. Sid was shocked, not necessarily appalled, but shocked.
Yeah. Yes.
First grade is, come on.
First grade's a bit much.
I mean,
look,
give me a break. Yeah, wait, talking about freshmen.
Fourth grade is fine.
So Tatiana, by the way, she did tell me that Carmel school board meeting, they changed the time to 6 p.m. That's tonight in front of that's at the Carmel School Library. So if you guys want to attend and make your voices heard, she's been telling me to get that message out there. So that's at 6 o'clock tonight at the Carmel High School up in Putnam County. And by the way, Barack Obama, if you remember, he went into the White House, a middle-class guy. Now the guy's a billionaire. Meanwhile, President Trump actually lost his wealth, but yet he's the corrupt one.
Good point. That's why Lydia at 4 o'clock every day beats the competition here on 77 WABC.
Oh, you're sweet. You're sweet.
You're really good. Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you. You guys are the best, all because of you guys. Thank you. And this report, again, is sponsored by LifeAct. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world can change in minutes. And as a parent myself, protect your entire family. This would make a great Father's Day gift. Go to LifeAct.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. That's LifeAct.net.
Traffic and sports coming up next. But right now it is time for 77's WABC Clip of the Day, Katz's Roundtable, every Sunday morning at 8:30. Here's Miami Mayor, Francis Suarez on people fleeing New York City.
Usually I say New York, New York. But today we have the mayor of Miami here in New York, and his theme song is Come On Down. We have Mayor Francis Suarez, people are coming down to Miami from New York like you can't stop them. What's going on? Tell us.
Well, our arms are open in Miami. It's a two-hour flight. You're going to save a tremendous amount on cost of living. You're going to save a tremendous amount on taxes. You're going to have the best quality of life and be able to buy a property at a fraction of the price. We're going to be the most dynamic and attractive city to create a company, to build a life, and to raise your children.
Miami Mayor Francis Suarez on Katz's Roundtable. That guy's going to be governor of Florida one day. Every 8:30, every Sunday morning at 8:30, Katz's Roundtable. Kind of
world where we belong. All I can see right now is Adam Sandler crying. This for me, this is just for Sid, has become one of those I can't shut it off movies, like The Godfather and Goodfellas and Mr. Mom. What? Michael Keaton was great now. Anyway, this one, 51st Dates, I think is far and away. You could have Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, whatever you want. Far and away, Adam Sandler's best movie. Him and Drew Barrymore were electric together. And it's filmed in Honolulu. And that song comes on, and I think about that movie every time. 51st Dates with Adam Sandler. Coming up at 9:05, resurfacing. He's disappeared about a year ago. He's back. He was a star at MSNBC for many, many years. Chris Matthews with Bernie and Sid, our old buddy.
Ha!
Ha! Daryl Hammond did
that's
that.
That's right.
Daryl
Hammond
well.
Did a great Chris Matthews.
Yeah, Chris is going to join us at 9:05.
And he's throwing up my leg.
We believe he was not happy with getting fired at MSNBC.
Well, he shouldn't have been fired.
And he hasn't done any interviews in the interim.
I don't think
seen
so.
Him anywhere.
No, he's got a new book out. That's why it's coming on today. Art Sears set it up. But he hopefully he's very, very angry at Phil Griffin. He should be. Guys are still working at MSNBC and CNN have done a heck of a lot worse than Chris Matthews. So we'll talk to Chris coming up. It is interesting, though, that on all these national shows, Fox News this morning had Ray Kelly on, talking about Greg Kelly. We'll find out why Greg Kelly was talking about us yesterday. And right now, Bill Bratton is on MSNBC. So you've got Eric Adams in the latest poll at 22%, a lengthy lead over Andrew Yang in second, and a very lengthy lead over Maya Wiley in fifth.
But even nationally now, all these networks are talking about the crime in New York and the mayor race, how important it is to fix it. So crime, 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 New York City mayor is a huge story even nationally.
Yeah, it is nationally. I think Tucker last night had somebody on talking about the mayoral race. I believe it was either the Tucker, one of the Fox shows. I saw him. But I don't know if you saw this viral video of in Chicago. A crowd, a huge crowd, and let me just state they were not white supremacists. Huge crowd. You had three girls from the crowd jump on top of the car. They're all chanting, screaming at the cops in the car.
I didn't see it.
They're twerking on top of the squad car. I mean, you know, the narrative is that people who are not white supremacists are afraid of the police. It doesn't seem to me like anybody's afraid of the police. There was a cop down in Jacksonville, Florida. A single cop by himself, a la the cop that was the female cop last week. She was attacked in San Francisco by herself because they can't pair them up anymore because they've defunded the police in San Francisco. She got overcome. She was beat up by a homeless guy and saved by bystanders. No partner. Nice little Asian lady, a cop. And so anyway, in Jacksonville, Florida, a mob descended on and beat up a cop. And by the way, the cop was armed. He didn't take out his gun and shoot anybody. Maybe he should have, right? If somebody's beating you up, if you get beat up by a mob like Kyle Rittenhouse, I mean, your natural response is to take your gun out and shoot.
Yeah, but the thinking but now, it's not
it.
Worth it. Right.
He did not do it.
Right.
That's because that's the sort of atmosphere that we live in.
Which is very sad that you can't even defend yourself anymore because you become the culprit even when you're trying to defend yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just that the blatant disrespect for police these days is absolutely off the charts. And again, the police, the NYPD, still searching for those anti-gay, those violent anti-gay perpetrators. They beat up some gay people over the weekend, two of them, two in particular. I think maybe three. The NYPD is still looking for them, and they haven't caught them. And again, the perps were not white supremacists. I just want to point that out because it's mandatory these days that you do so. Speaking of New York, this did not get any attention. All they got was fawning attention, praise all over the place. Fauci and non-doctor Jill Biden up at that Harlem vaccination place. And, well, believe it or not, they were met with, like, I would say 100 protesters on their way, at least 100 protesters on their way into the vaccination site. They were screaming, F Fauci, F Biden, Fauci should go to prison, fire Fauci. Take a listen. Fire Fauci! Fire Fauci! We know this guy is up to his ears in guilt.
Get him out.
The Biden administration said, hey, we have full confidence. There's nothing that Fauci could do that would require us to fire him. Nothing he could do, really? Nothing we could find out that he did in the past? Are you kidding me?
Give me a little break here.
I mean, it's about time he got fired like yesterday.
I mean, Chris Matthews, again, I can't even compare what Chris Matthews did and said at MSNBC to get fired to what Fauci's done. Fauci may really be responsible for thousands and thousands of deaths across this country.
Hey, by the way, Joe Manchin. Remember, we talked about him being the savior of the potentially the savior of the country.
I still feel like he is. I still feel like he
well,
is. He spits in the Democrats' face all the time.
He wrote an op-ed the other day, and he says he's not going to support this voting rights bill. This voter. Well, make it easier to cheat, Bill. Let me put it that way.
Right.
He's actually
on Fox News. John Kennedy's on now, but he was on right before him talking about that. And the Democrats are furious.
They would filibuster. They want to get rid of the filibuster so that they can pass this, what they call HR1, which would make it easier to cheat. Unconstitutionally federalize elections and repeat in perpetuity the debacle that went on in November of 2020. That's what they want to do. And he says, I'm not going to do it. He wrote an article. So he got Rich Lowry wrote an article about him getting pilloried and all that stuff. Yeah. And he quotes this congressman from Westchester County, this racist guy, Mondaire Jones. I think we replaced Nita Lowey.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Mondaire Jones. This guy's a flat out racist. And he says that Joe Manchin, the title of his op-ed might as well have been entitled, Why I'll Vote to Preserve Jim Crow. So these Democrats, they don't argue with you any longer on substance, on issues. They just call you names. By the way, the Senate used the filibuster 333 times in during Trump's administration. Now the filibuster is Jim Crow. It's racist. And so there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. And none other than fake news Don Lemon. Nobody heard this because nobody watches. This guy doesn't even get like 800,000 listeners at night. Anyway, he said this about Manchin.
Let's just be honest and tell the truth about what is happening in this country. Don't hide behind the filibuster. Say what you got to say, brothers and sister or brother and sister. Do it. If you're going to do it, then say, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do this because I think that black and brown people's votes should be restricted in the future to come in America. Just say it. Don't hide behind the filibuster. Two Democrats, Senators Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, are standing in the way of that.
Of what, idiot? What, Lemon, you idiot?
Yeah.
What are they standing in the way of?
And
what?
33 Democrat senators, as Rich Lowry points out, signed a letter in 2017 when Trump was president. They were staunchly in favor of the filibuster to try to thwart Donald Trump. So these guys, they were all hypocrites and liars and flip-floppers.
They're full of crap.
And they think we don't have any videotape of them in the past supporting what they're now against.
Well, the problem is that outside of this show, shows on this station, of course, Katz and Kelly and everybody else, you're just not going to hear this stuff. So it may as well have been quiet because no one's going to hear it.
Yeah, but it really is absolutely
nauseating.
Incredible. You know what I'm saying, bro?
Yeah.
Listen, the imbecile in chief, speaking of incredible, I mentioned this yesterday. He totally ignored D-Day. Totally ignored D-Day. The day in which Americans, I would say probably people who look maybe like white supremacists, went and fought actual Nazis. They fought actual Nazis. So, and he mentions nothing about it. He tweets out about the Tulsa massacre, which is fine. Tweet it out. We should never forget it. But he ignores completely D-Day, the 77th anniversary of D-Day. Peter Doocy from Fox News asked smart-ass Psaki a question about it, and, well, she couldn't answer.
Obama and Trump all commemorated D-Day anniversaries on D-Day, on the D-Day anniversary. Why didn't President Biden?
Well, I can tell you that certainly his value for the role that men and the men who served on D-Day and the memory of them, the families who have kept their memories alive over the course of years on this day is something the president has spoke to many, many times in the past. It's close to his heart, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's more we would have to say
on
it.
If it was close to his heart, you dummy. If it was close to his heart, he would have said something, you dummy.
Exactly.
How can it be close to his heart if he completely ignored it?
She started to say men and women. There wasn't no women. There were no women. No, which is why Miranda Devine actually pointed this out on Twitter, which is why he probably ignored it. And they ignored it because they're, you know, there's no political hay to be made out of commemorating D-Day.
I was thinking about those kids on the boat on Sunday because there were a couple of people that were feeling kind of wheezy, you know, because
I would have been one of them if I had been.
Well,
there.
You know, what people forget is when our kids came up on the beaches of Normandy, and so many of them were shot dead in the boats. They never made it out of the boat. They were just getting the Germans were there. They were in the mountains. They were killing all of our kids. But the majority of those kids were sick to their stomach.
Listen, they had
the waters were brutal.
They had to postpone it for a day. At least a day. I believe it was 2 days.
Right.
They had to postpone it because of bad weather. And a lot of them had to stay on the ships or on these little LSTs.
Yes.
And you're right. The water was
still rough.
And there was vomit swishing around on the floor of these LSTs.
Yeah, they waited 2 days because the weather was bad, but the waters were still brutal
right.
The day they came in.
Exactly.
So I actually thought about those guys on a beautiful yacht on the Hudson on Sunday, but the president, he couldn't mention them.
He could not. I mean, it really is absolutely galling that he didn't mention them. I mean, he's the punk in chief is what he is. This guy's a lowlife, a piece of garbage, a corrupt pervert. Did you hear, what was that clip last week of him perving on the, let's play this for Sid. This is for your benefit. You missed this last week. He was giving a speech to, I don't know, soldiers' families or somebody connected with military. They had their families there, and there was a young girl there. She's about 10, 11 years old. And Joe Biden, he looks at her, and he says, look at her with the barrettes in her hair and her legs crossed. And, wow, She looks like she's 19 years old sitting there. God. I mean, it was really, really creepy and traditional. Here it is. Take a listen.
I'm especially honored to share the stage with Brittany and Jordan and Nathan and Margaret Catherine. I love those barrettes in her hair, man.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what. Look at her. She looks like she's 19 years old sitting there with her, like a little lady in her race car.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Creepy.
Anyway, last quick thing is Kamala was booed down in Guatemala. The Guatemalan president says Biden's to blame for this debacle. There was a big banner unfurled saying Trump won in Guatemala.
Fantastic.
I love it. Fantastic. This idiot down there. Look, all you have to do is to stop illegal immigration is deport people who came here illegally. Build the wall. Re-implement remain in Mexico policy. That's it.
Really that
simple. There's no big riddle here.
No, it's really that simple. Coming up at 9:40, Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Pete Bernie, your chance at a $100 gift card. And, of course, a Barry House coffee mug. Barry House is the official coffee of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. But coming up in about 12 minutes, we're excited about this, resurfacing on radio our old friend, most recently about a year ago, still worked at MSNBC, no longer does, Chris Matthews with Bernie and Sid is coming up.
You don't have to have eight women around you twerking.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine.
Summer breeze today. Rain coming.
It sounds like a female product.
Yeah, like douche.
I don't know about that.
Massengale douche.
Hey, by the way, you know, Chris Matthews has been on all over MSNBC. Joy Reid, Morning Joe, all the Colbert.
Oh, they brought him back with the book?
He's been all over the place. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Okay. Well, what radio show was he done? He probably did Piscopo, because for some reason Joe gets guests before we do. And no one loves Joe more than me. He was there Sunday, too. He's brilliant. He's a great host. He's a super sweet guy. But oftentimes the guests will go on with him before us, and nobody knows.
Yeah, it's inexplicable. But I just wanted you to know that he's already been out commenting on his firing. So I don't think we'll get anything new here necessarily, but you never know.
You never know. Bernie and Sid with Chris Matthews. You're going to want to hear this, trust me. Keep it right here. Chris Matthews on Bernie and Sid is next.
You see the you and me are very far apart, 'cause I believe.
9:05 on your Tuesday morning. Guy that's been a friend of ours for a long time, dating back to our IMUS days on MSNBC over two decades ago when we were on mornings. And doing very, very well. Chris Matthews spent lots of years at MSNBC hosting Hardball. In fact, I think to be exact, it was about 23 years. He was there between 1997 and just last year, 2020. That's a heck of a run, 23 years. And we would travel often with IMUS, me and Bernie, up in New Hampshire, up in Maine, Boston, Providence, all these great northeastern cities, do live shows from these different venues. And Chris would be at a lot of these events, and we hung out with Chris, and we had a great time. And, of course, Chris has been on this show many times since, promoting his books. He wrote a great book a couple of years ago about Robert Kennedy, and now he's got a new book out now, and it is entitled This Country, My Life in Politics and History. This guy is a genius when it comes to presidential history. In fact, I will tell you that I put him right there with Beschloss and Goodwin and all these folks. So with all that said, no further ado, here he is, our good friend and our co-worker at MSNBC, our buddy Chris Matthews. Chris, Bernie, and Sid, welcome back.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you. Oh, Sid.
Well, it's nice to
have that laugh.
You got to have that
down.
Hey, listen, we were upset last year when we thought you were unceremoniously let go by MSNBC. I have a feeling you're going to take the high road here and say nice things, but just so you know, Chris, me and Bernie, we were pissed off.
Well, fine. I appreciate your friendship. I do. And I just think, you're not supposed to comment on people's appearance at the workplace. I learned my lesson the hard way. I lost my show. End of story, as far as I'm concerned. But
okay.
No, thank you.
Well, but just one further comment on it, Chris Matthews. I mean, relatively speaking, what you said was politically incorrect at the time, of course, and now. But, I mean, you were no Harvey Weinstein, and you were no Matt Lauer. That's for damn sure. So, and you were replaced by a black woman with a homophobic history. So, do you think maybe you might have been treated unfairly by MSNBC?
No, I think I was fine. I think they were. I put them in a situation. Let's put it that way. They had to do something, and I just listened to the president of that work, and I heard his arguments and all, and situation. I was sitting with my wife, and I said, "I'm retiring. I'm not gonna contest this thing." So, okay. I basically made the decision. You gotta call it as you see it. And I saw it, and I made my call. And you know what? I had 2 years to write this book, and this country, my life in politics and history, and I never could have written as good a book if I had been on the air every night. You know, I haven't seen a sundown in 26 years, basically during the week. Sundowns are interesting. My wife loves them. I don't drink, but, you know, it's a part of the day I never had before of my own decision. But, you know, I'm trying to see the brighter side.
Well, that's good. That's good. And you're a sweet guy, and we're not surprised that you did what you did and have acted the way you have since. You're a much better person than me and or Bernie, because we would have gone out yelling and screaming and been fired someplace else by now. But on a serious note, you know, your new book is out now.
I love the attitude. As you say in Philadelphia, I love your attitude.
That's us. That's Bernie and Sid. So, Chris, the new book is out now, but I was just talking while we were on hold waiting for you about the book you wrote about Robert Kennedy, which I still think to this day is one of the best books I've ever read. So I know we're going to talk about your new book right now, but I urge and compel people to read the book you wrote about Robert Kennedy. That was a great book.
Yeah. Well, one of his rules was, as we were just talking, was hang a lantern on your problem. Basically, admit your problem and lead with it. Just say, okay, this is my problem. Let's go on. Let's move on. You know, and I think that was he used to say, yeah, I'm ruthless. I used to hear it, ruthless. Let's move on. Yep. And he tried to get a chuckle out of it, but everybody knew he was ruthless. So. But he was a good ruthless guy. So, you know, he got done. Maybe the Democrats need Bobby Kennedy right now to figure out how to deal with Manchin. You know, if they want to get an extra vote, there must be a way to get it. You deal with it. Stay all night. Stay all weekend. Stay all week until you figure out what this guy wants for West Virginia. You know, all politics is local. What does he want? You know, back when I was working for TIP, I went up to, we were fighting with the Republican over infrastructure, and Bob Michael, the good guy, Republican leader from Illinois, was dumping all over TIP and everything. So I called the chief engineer of Peoria, his hometown. I got a list of all the bridges in Peoria that were below safety standards, where school buses had to go over these rickety bridges that are dangerous. And TIP went on the floor of the House and read the list of the addresses and the names of every one of those bridges that were dangerous in Bob Michael's district.
Wow.
That's how you play politics. You play hardball, you're clean, and you go right at the enemy in his hometown, and you win. We won that vote.
Yeah, listen, Chris Matthews, formerly of Hardball on the Bernie and Sid Show, his book is called, of course, This Country, My Life in Politics and History. It is out now. We're going to talk about that book in a minute, Chris Matthews, This Country. But on Joe Manchin, I mean, just to give you an idea, you know, because nobody is a more keen observer of the scene than Chris Matthews. But, I mean, Joe Manchin comes out. He has a policy difference. He's going to vote against the H.R. 1. He's not going to vote to abolish the filibuster. And what's the response? Instead of arguing with him on substance, they call him a racist. You have this Congressman Mondaire Jones talking about Manchin's op-ed, saying that he might as well entitle the piece "Why I'll Vote to Preserve Jim Crow." I mean, what do you make about of that type of reaction
look,
on the part of Democrats, for God's sakes?
Well, first of all, West Virginia broke from the Confederacy. Somebody should get their history straight. They were not part of that. They did not support that. The Civil War and slavery and all that, they broke with all that. Now, it doesn't help. You know, Jimmy Carter once said, if you call somebody a racist, you're finished with that person. Once you call them a racist, that's the end of the conversation. You're going to get nothing from that person, least of all a vote. Why should somebody vote for somebody that just called them a racist? So it's just bad politics. I mean, just simple bad manners and everything else, bad human behavior. It doesn't do any good. He has entitled his vote. Suppose that congressman who dumped on him, suppose his district had voted 40% majority for Trump. Where would he be? Let's get it straight. You know, liberals and moderates and regular Democrats may not like the fact that Manchin's from a state that would otherwise elect a Republican. If it weren't for Joe Manchin, everybody on earth knows If Joe Manchin goes down in the next election, he will be replaced by a ruby red Republican pro-Trumper.
Right.
It's West Virginia. What do they expect? Right. So they got to negotiate with the guy. It's not his fault he's the 50th vote. They got a very razor-sharp majority of 50-50. It can't be sharper than that. And if they built their whole coalition on the idea of getting Joe Manchin's vote, that was a mistake. They got to, if they're passing all this legislation in their caucus, then saying, all we need now is Joe Manchin. That's stupid. You got to go to Manchin first to figure out, will he do something on infrastructure? West Virginia, when Bobby, remember Bernie, when Bobby Byrd was from West Virginia? And he was practically cementing the state with federal projects. Everything was with intelligence facilities. Everything was getting shoved over to West Virginia. They love pork barrel. They love infrastructure. You got to talk to them on their ground. And I think that's what the Democrats got to do. Talk to West Virginia and find out what they want and give it to them. That's what LBJ would have done.
Right.
What do they want?
Stop,
what do they need?
Stop the race
the racism
stuff.
Nonsense. Yes. Chris Matthews here with Bernie and Sid. His new book is out, This Country. Chris is a courageous guest. Oftentimes we'll bring on somebody who went through what Chris went through last year, and they'll say, hey, don't bring that stuff up. And Chris is okay with that. In fact, in his book, This Country, he brings up what happened at MSNBC. But it's really a sweeping memoir of American politics. Chris's great history from a New York Times bestselling author, the host on MSNBC, really everything past World War II. Give us some parts of the book here, Chris Matthews, that's going to really make our listening audience mouths water.
Well, you know, we grew up. I mean, I'm 75. I grew up in the Cold War. I know we hid under Odessa, St. Christopher's. We thought the world was going to end with fighting with the Soviets, the Russians. And I got to go covering the Berlin Wall coming down. I just went over. I didn't even ask my editor's permission, my newspaper. I said, I'm going. And he yelled at me, how come you go without permission? I said, this Berlin Wall is coming down. I'm going. And I talked to a kid on the wall, on the other side of the wall, on the communist side, and he was waiting for the wall at the Brandenburg Gate. And I go up to him, and it's raining out, and I talk to him in my limited German, and I said, what's freedom mean to you? Because the wall's about to come down. And I was his Freiheit, little German. And the guy goes, talking to you. Huh. That was my greatest moment.
How about that?
When
that is a great moment.
Everything the nuns taught us about the communes was true.
Yep. So, listen, what do you make in the book? Of course, Chris Matthews is our guest. The book is Our Country, excuse me, This Country, My Life in Politics and History. And Chris Matthews, I believe you worked for Tip O'Neill when he was Speaker of the House. And, of course, the old maxim is that Tip O'Neill would get along with they'd fight during the day, and then they'd have drinks at night. That's the conventional wisdom. But today, the rancor, the discord between Republicans and Democrats, is it more divisive than you've ever seen or than this country has ever seen?
Okay, here's what I think's going on, and it's rotten. When you're a congressman or a senator or whatever, a party chair, you go out and you ask for $10,000 from somebody. And then that person gets to be your, love this word, friend, social friend. Right. So people can build their social existence based on giving money to politicians. They'll say, oh, we're friends with the Clintons. Oh, you are? No, you're a contributor to the Clintons. Or you're a contributor to somebody else. But they build their lives around this. They don't want to see the person they bought as their friend hanging out with Republicans. It's as simple as that.
Right.
How can you be friends with those other people? I paid for you. I own you. Why are you hanging out with them? I'm your friend because I paid for your friendship. I'm dead serious. So this is what goes on. People build their social lives around their contributions. These are wealthy people. And they buy the friendship of a politician, and they don't want to look like they're cheating on them by hanging out with Republicans.
Right.
You give me another explanation for this. These guys don't naturally hate each other. They're in the same business. They get the same salaries. They walk up and down the hallways together. You know, they have lunch together. Well, I mean, but they have to look like they hate each other's guts.
I'll give you an example,
so that
though.
Their donors will feel special.
I will give you an example.
I think that's it.
You have, for example, AOC, Ilhan Omar, and these people. I think there is real genuine rancor and hatred between them and certain elements of the Republican Party. And, of course, the Republicans just raised a bunch of money for AOC's abuela, her grandmother, and apparently her roof was falling down in Puerto Rico. They raised it sort of sarcastically, but she turned the money down. In other words, there is some real genuine animosity.
Well, that's different. Sid, you're into a real interesting terrain here. I mean, the progressive left are young. They're on the left. They have a real agenda, and they're for real. The Sunrise Movement, they got Ed Markey reelected up in Massachusetts against the Kennedy. That's real, and that's very militant. There's no doubt about it. That's something new. You know, I never even saw that when I was there. That's a brand new part of the Democratic Party. I think the party is moving left. I think Biden is maybe the last moderate for a while. And I don't know how to explain it, except that those people come from poor districts, demographically shifted from the days of Joe Crowley or Mike Capuano up in Massachusetts. They're going to be running against Carolyn Maloney, right?
Yes,
that's right.
On the east side.
Yep.
But me, I think they're going to be trying to pick off these moderate centrist Democrats or regular Democrats. We're going to be seeing this for 20 years now because the appetite is wet. They're ready.
Yep.
And by the way, AOC is a media marvel. She's unbelievable at getting attention and getting her point out. I've never seen anybody as good as her. She knows how to grab the spotlight and use it effectively.
I agree.
And that's something the older crowd isn't that good at. I don't think Joe Crowley was ever a media guy.
No, he wasn't.
Mike Capuano. I never saw Mike Capuano on TV or radio.
Yeah.
But she just says, well, you remember, by the way, Schumer used to be like this, remember? It's not Schumer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Used to be able to stand somewhere on the Capitol grounds and say, I'm here, 4 o'clock in the afternoon Sunday, bring the cameras on. He was good at it.
He was.
And now he quivers at the sight of AOC, who may primary him in 2022.
Yeah, he should. Hey, Chris.
Wouldn't you?
I would, too. Yes.
I might show some backbone.
I don't like what she says. In fact, I can't stand what
especially
she says.
Especially when it comes to Israel, if I'm Jewish. But that's another thing.
But I can't argue your point, which is she does get to a lot of people and does well with the cameras. This book, This Country, Chris, your new book, available at Amazon, I imagine. Where else?
Everywhere. I mean, Barnes & Noble. I mean, you can get it anytime online. Go do it right now. By the way, sit on this Israel thing. Here's my question to the other side, to the Arab side. How many inches from the Mediterranean would Israel have to shrink? Would have to shrink for you guys to leave it alone?
That's a great question.
How small would it have to get for you just treat it like a regular country and leave it alone as a neighbor?
I can answer you.
I want to hear the answer to that question.
They would say a non-existent.
Zero.
If they're being honest.
Yeah, but they won't exactly admit. Some will, like Hamas will, but the average just anti-Israeli Arab. Well, they just give it. What would you give it? The old border? Of 67, before 67, well, then why are you against it back then?
Well,
why are we against it when it's a much smaller country?
Well, that's what Obama wanted to go back to that 67.
And why did you start the war in 67 if you wanted to go back to 67?
Right.
Listen, Chris Matthews, we're out of time, but your book is terrific. This Country,
My
Life in Politics and History. And we miss you, Chris Matthews,
we do.
Personally.
Call me when you need me,
if you
want me.
We will. No, we'll call you. You're welcome on this show anytime. All right,
Chris. You sound as good as ever, by the way.
Thank you.
God bless you. Take care, okay? All right, take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Thank you.
Chris Matthews, the book again is This Country. Go buy it today. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Next segment, we'll grab a contestant for Beat Bernie coming up at 9:40. Your chance at $100 and a WABC Barry House coffee mug.
I felt this thrill going up my leg.
You pick up that telephone.
So I found out from Brian what Greg Kelly was saying yesterday, but first I guess you got a chance every day to get yourself a Barry House coffee mug here.
Yes, you do, Sydney. Go to WABCradio.com now. Register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, B-A-R-R-I-E. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC. Register now. And good luck.
Let's get a contestant for today's Beat Bernie's contest coming up, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers in about 15 minutes. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. As always, that's the number. So I told you that Danielle and I saw Greg on Sunday on the boat, and he was very nice, hanging out there with Judge Jeanine and Rudy Giuliani, and then, of course, had that power dinner on Sunday night at Prime House New York in Garden City with Nelson DeMille and Mark Simone and Bill O'Reilly and Congressman Peter King. So he was saying yesterday that I'm a rock star and I'm in great shape, lean, mean, look great in clothing, and he's dieting and he basically wants to be me. I guess that's what I was told. I don't know. That's what Brian said.
You were on with him last week. I didn't hear it. Now, the first time you were on with him, I listened to it. It was one of the funniest things I ever heard. But I heard from people that last week when you were on that it was a little bit contentious.
A little bit, but it was also very, very funny. But it was contentious because I brought up I didn't like what he said about the cops. And he said, where I come from, if you're on the same team, I go, not where I come from. If I'm on a baseball team and my best friend looks at a third strike and the game ends, I'm going to rip him a new a-hole. I don't care if he's my friend or not. So the way I approach things is, if you're on my team and you screw up, I'm going to let you know.
But there's no animosity. In fact, that was also a very funny conversation, the second one.
I heard he said, you sound like a 13-year-old fangirl.
15.
15.
And then I came back at him and said, wait a second, you're complaining that I was upset with you about what you said about cops? Who's the 15-year-old now? But he was great on Sunday, and he was very, very sweet yesterday. So thank you, Greg Kelly.
I love that guy.
He owns the world. Come on.
He really is a cool guy.
He owns it. He's the biggest star on Newsmax. He's got a two-hour show here.
And he's a nice person.
He is a nice guy.
That's what he is. Yes. That's the bottom line. He's a nice person.
Yes, he is.
You know, today is primary day for the gubernatorial race in New Jersey.
In Jersey, I know.
In Jersey. And, you know who we're supporting, right?
In New the Italian guy. He's a Republican. He's Italian.
That's it. That's the way to break it down.
No, is that who it is, though?
You give us 22 minutes, and we'll give you the Italian guy. Jack Cetarelli.
I'm right. It's the Italian guy.
Exactly. Remember we had Hirsch Singh in studio about you and I did a
– I remember it well.
I think we had him in like 2 years ago. It had to be before the pandemic, right?
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was cool. We were like, this guy's great.
Yeah.
And it turns out I hear these Cetarelli commercials. Hirsch Singh voted for Obama, and he lives in the basement with his mother. But I think Cetarelli is the way to go.
Who's he running against? Is Murphy running against?
Well, no, he's running against Hirsch Singh. And I think there's four people on the ballot. But for some reason, the Cetarelli commercials, which are airing here on 77 yeah. WABC.
That's how I know the Italian guy. That's how I know it. I don't know who the guy is.
He singles out Hirsch Singh, so yeah. He must be the biggest threat.
I couldn't pick this guy out of a lineup, to be honest. But
I couldn't either, but I'm just letting you know.
So you want to bring him on now?
No, our peeps out in Jersey, they're listening. Shout out to our Jersey home dogs.
Housewives?
Whopping.
Yeah.
And
They are filming this morning. They start season 12 this morning of all the – funny you would bring that up. They start today. So, but the winner of that race is going to run against Phil, right? Is Phil running again, Murphy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. That's this year. Yeah, of
Get
course.
The hell off that's the beach.
In fact, there's only two governor's races this year. I believe it's New Jersey and Virginia.
That's it.
Are the only two this year, yeah.
So, and we're next year.
And we are next year, sadly.
We got a bunch of people that we like. We like Lee Zeldin. We like Andrew Giuliani. In fact, Rudy was very proud of Andrew. Last week at a big event at the Belmont Stakes on Saturday. Andrew was
there. Which, by the way, had no crowd.
Nobody was
there. Shame.
I know.
Kentucky Derby, Pimlico, packed to the gills. But because of Cuomo, this joint was sparsely attended. And a lot of businesses suffered. The pandemic is over. There was no reason
That's life.
For it. Yeah, that is life. They went to kick your ass out because of it.
Right.
You SOB. Hey, listen, you know, remember that schlub from CNN, Brian Stelter, you and I...
What do you remember? He's still there.
We saw him at Hofstra that time.
He's still there.
Do you remember when we saw him at Hofstra?
Of course. And his wife, Jamie, is on New York One every morning.
He's rolling around Hofstra during the Trump-Hillary debate with sunglasses indoors, like he's some sort of rock star, this slob. Anyway...
What a loser!
Just to show you how bad this person is, he had this smart-ass sake lady on, and listen to the line of questioning that he asked. Go ahead.
Busy summer ahead, infrastructure, election reform. What does the press get wrong when covering Biden's agenda? When you watch the news, when you read the news, what do you think we get wrong?
Well, look, I think some of our muscles have atrophied a little bit over the last few years, and there isn't a lot of memory, or recent memory, or longer memory on how long it takes to get legislation forward, or how messy the process of negotiating and the process of getting legislation.
So these are stupid people.
They really are. So that's the question. What are we getting wrong? I'll tell you what you're getting wrong. You're not covering Biden's meetings with the Hunter's Business Associates. Let's start right there, Fatso. No, I take that back. Mr. Stelter. Look, Glenn Greenwald actually wrote an article about that fawning interview. He wrote, among other things, quote, "This is how state TV works," unquote. And he couldn't be more right. Listen, do we have a contestant yet? We're going to play Beat Bernie, sponsored by Peerless Boilers. I've had a Peerless Boiler in my home since Hurricane Sandy, courtesy of the great Pete Morgan. Beat Bernie by Peerless Boilers coming up next.
Now, it's time to Beat Bernie.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to Beat Bernie.
Tony from South Carolina, today's contestant. Let me start by wishing Tony a happy belated birthday. His birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, pal.
Thank you. Thank you, Sid. I appreciate it. I go back to you to your sports guys days. We used to finish up our late nights listening to you guys in the mornings.
You know, it's ironic you would mention that because I've been talking all morning long about Jim Fassel, the former Giant head coach, passing away. And that one Super Bowl that Fassel coached in back in the year 2000, Super Bowl 35, where the Giants lost to the Ravens, Tony, my partner on that show was Craig Carton. And Craig and I covered that Super Bowl together. Now, of course, he's become a big star at FAN. But so thank you. That's going back 21 years ago.
It's a long time, my friend.
Well, thank you. Now, what are you doing in South Carolina? You retired there?
I retired down here, and I've been enjoying watching my New York Islanders in the playoffs.
Islanders are doing great. So are you in Myrtle or Hilton Head? Where are you?
No, I'm inland. I'm just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, right, very nice. Very, very nice. Well, live a beautiful life there. Thank you for staying with me all these years and still listening today, and good luck in today's game. Okay, pal?
Thank you.
Here we go. What is the capital of the country of the Dominican Republic? Capital. Nope. All right, the answer is Santo Domingo. Here's number two, Tony. Who was the 27th president of the United States who later became the 10th Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, making him the only person to have served in both of those offices? Tough one. President?
Benjamin Harrison?
Not a terrible guess. William Howard Taft. Number three, Tony, who was the radiotherapist? Did you write this after I mentioned her this morning?
Yeah, people got to be listening.
Okay.
You know?
Who was the radiotherapist whose program, Sexually Speaking, began back in 1980?
Dr. Ruth.
Yes. In 2003, 37 years after his death, New York Governor George Pataki pardoned what comedian for a 1964 arrest in Greenwich Village where undercover police officers cited him for using words they deemed obscene?
Lenny Bruce.
Yes! Nicely done, Tony. Last one. In September 1991, Clarence Thomas was the subject of a contentious confirmation hearing before what committee en route to his way to the Supreme Court?
Judiciary.
Yes! Hey, nice job, Tony. Missed the first two, but caught fire late. Ends up getting 3 out of 5, and that's a lot of pressure on Bernard. He's got to get at least 4 right to win today's game. So, nicely done, Tony.
He's pretty sharp, so.
Well, we'll see. We'll put you on hold. You did very well, Tony. Thank you. 4 wins today, Bernie, okay? 4 wins.
4 wins.
Yes.
All right. You know, my son texted me that he enjoyed the Chris Matthews interview.
He did.
And then he said he got a thrill up his leg while he was listening to it.
Did he actually say that?
My son wrote that.
Brandon's smart. He's no dummy B. He ain't no dummy B.
Brandon!
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you for that. Number one.
Excuse me, Brendan.
What'd I say?
You said Brandon.
I know. I'm like Chris Russo. I can't say Brandon.
Wake up!
I can't say it. What is the capital of the country of the Dominican Republic?
Dominican Republic.
The capital.
The capital.
Hard.
It's actually 2 words. You know that?
Well, I know. I got the answer in
front. Santo Domingo. You know, by the way, the Dominican Republic, you talk about racist walls. They let nobody from Haiti in.
Oh, I know.
They share the island of Hispaniola with Haiti.
I know.
They have a wall up there that's, forget the Berlin Wall. Forget the Great Wall of China.
And what a difference.
No Haitians need apply to enter into the Dominican Republic.
It's a huge difference, too. One country is so poor and one country is so beautiful. It's kind of like when you get to Dixie Highway in Boca.
They're both beautiful. It's just one is very,
Haiti's
very
not beautiful. Haiti's beat up badly.
Well,
badly.
Listen, it's on the same island.
I know.
It could be beautiful.
It could be, yes. Who was the 27th president of the United States who later became the 10th Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, making him the only person to have served in both of these offices?
He became what now?
He became the 10th Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, which John Roberts holds now.
Let's see. The 27th president.
I didn't know that this guy did both.
I'd have to say. Hold on a second. Don't push me.
That's it. You got it right now.
I'd have to go with Taft.
Yeah, that's right. Now you're going to go 5 for 5 once you got that one. Who was the radiotherapist whose program, Sexually Speaking, began back in 1980?
Well, it would have to be
I don't know, Dr. Ruth?
Yeah, thanks. In 2003, 37 years after his death, New York Governor George Pataki pardoned what comedian for a 1964 arrest in Greenwich Village? For undercover police officers cited him for using words they deemed obscene.
It's easy. Rodney Dangerfield would be the wrong answer.
Correct.
So I would say Lenny Bruce.
Very good. And you've already won today's game in your attempt to be perfect.
What happened?
In September 1991, Clarence Thomas was the subject of a contentious confirmation hearing before what committee en route to his way to the Supreme Court?
The Committee on Pubic Hair on Cans of Coke.
That's right. Anita Hill.
It was the Judiciary Committee.
That's it. Bernie goes perfect. Good game today, though. Tony played well, too. Final score, Bernard 5, Tony 3. With that said, Bernie, say hello to Tony.
Sup, Tony?
Hey, Bernie, how are you?
I'm good. Can I get a what?
Can I get a Let's Go Islanders? How about that?
Oh, I like that. Tony, so you're a transplant down in South Carolina, right?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
But beautiful state. How do you like Tim Scott?
He's wonderful. Like I said, a stand-up guy does the right thing, so of course it's the right thing to do.
And South Carolina, of course, just night and day. Where in New York? Obviously, apparently, anyway, Long Island you fled from?
Yes, I did. I grew up in Massapequa originally.
Oh, the Baldwin brothers and the Busy Bee Flea Market.
And Seinfeld. And
yeah. And grew up listening to Sid with Sports Guys and you on Ines.
Isn't that funny?
For, my man. All those years.
That's funny.
My man, Tony.
Well, Tony, thank you. Thank you for continuing to listen to me and Bernie and your continued support. And we wish you the best down there in South Carolina. Keep calling in, pal.
Yep.
Okay, thank you for keeping me connected to New York. I certainly will. Good,
thank you, Tony. God bless you. Tony, retired police officer. Yesterday was his birthday. Happy birthday again in South Carolina.
Where did he serve? What department? Just curious.
Hey, Tony, what precinct, what department, where were you?
He's gone.
All right, well, he'll call us back. Anyway, 1-800-848-WABC.
He's gone. Tony, where'd you go?
1-800-848-9222. We'll close it out on the phones. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid on the way out is next.
Beat Bernie. Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Wrapping up things on this Tuesday edition of Bernie and Sid. As promised, we'll hit the phones and we'll start in the great state of California. I was in Los Angeles last week. Tim is in California this morning. Good morning, Timmy.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, Bernie sort of took my low-hanging fruit line about your last guest, but he said something Chris Matthews did that really got me when he told that story about going to Berlin.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That one really hit me when the guy said that, to talk to you.
Yep.
And that is everything. That is everything. And I was never really a fan of him, but you guys did a great job, and he was fantastic this morning.
Well, so forget my son. Sounds like Tim got a thrill up his leg, right?
Listen, he's great. I mean, he worked at a horrible network, and he did become one of them. He did.
He was definitely the Stockholm syndrome, the Patty Hearst syndrome. He became one of them.
But if you can get past that, and I can personally with certain people, so can Bernard, he is a brilliant guy. He knows history, as I said before, I mentioned Best, Lawson, Goodwin. This guy knows history like Bernie. So,
and a fun guy.
He's a good guy.
I knew him for a long time, like you. And
he is a fun guy. Yes.
I felt this. What they did to him.
You know what he did? I'll tell you what he did. He said to a lady in a makeup chair, "You know, I could fall in love with you."
I mean, which is ridiculous. I mean, nothing. That's nothing.
Is that Harvey Weinstein? Is that Matt Lauer?
Ridiculous.
They were just looking to get rid of him, to age him out because he was old and white, get rid of him and put the black lady in there, Joy Reid.
That's what it was. It was less about getting rid of him and more about putting the black lady in there.
And as I pointed out to him, a black lady with a history of homophobia.
Yes, that's true. And a racist. Joy Reid is a racist. I'll say it. You don't want to say it? I'll say it. Mark,
I don't mind saying it.
Yeah, I know you don't.
But when they put her in there, it was tried and true. That Twitter history of the homophobia.
Oh, yeah.
That is a fact.
That is a fact. Mark is in Point Pleasant, Bernie, this morning on line one. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, how you doing, Bernie? It's Sid. Thanks for taking my call. I don't have much time. I first want to say you both have remarkable memories.
Thank you.
And you're really impressive.
Thank you, Mark.
I'd like to just give Joe Manchin's Washington, D.C. phone number. HR1 is the most important, SR1 is the most important issue, I think, right now. It's the difference between Venezuela and Cuba, one-party rule. So you mind if I give his DC phone number?
Go ahead, 202. Go ahead.
Yes, it's 202-224-3954. I've already called and left him a message. And also, a couple of seconds left, I'd like to give a shout-out to Jack Citarelli. Anybody in the, I've met him a few times. He's got the charisma, the demeanor, and the brains and wit.
That's our guy.
To beat the tyrant.
That's our guy. We want him to beat Phil Murphy.
We're all over it. Citarelli for governor, and Joe Manchin. Yes, yeah, stay strong, bro. What Manchin did is why Schumer and Pelosi and Biden don't have a backbone.
That's true.
Because they don't want to face that. You're a Jim Crow racist son of a bitch.
What am I doing here?
Yeah, that's why.
I told you I liked your mansion weeks ago. Now you're in the mansion.
No, listen, I'm still until it's all said and done. He's now facing the heat. Will he stand up to it? That's the question.
Yeah, he will. Susan is in Brooklyn. This will be the last call of the day. We've got about a minute left. Hello, Susan.
Yes, hi, Your Honor. I'd like to ask: is it a crime to be old? What the city is trying to do, because baby boomers became old and they're starting to fall a lot, so they're trying to enforce people should have hospital beds. Did you ever hear that it's a war?
No, it's terrible.
I have not heard that, but thank you for the call, Susan. Yes, stay strong, yo.
Yeah, that's the best thing you can say. Stay strong. Anybody on tomorrow that we know of right now that we can promote? Or not yet?
Not right now.
Okay.
Well, you know who's on tomorrow?
Who?
Bernie and Sid,
bro. That's true. We had a great show today. Thank you to Bo Deedle, Chris Matthews, and Miranda Devine. We will be back again tomorrow morning at 6:30, giving you the best morning show in New York City, if not the country.
I'm going to go out today, and I'm going to go on a squad car and twerk.
I like what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I want you to tape it.
All right, I can't because, well, we'll see. You'll find out tomorrow if I have dinner with Wendy Williams tonight or not.
Sure, we'll do it right after the show.
Okay, maybe we will. Have yourselves a great Tuesday. Till tomorrow at 6:30, everybody. Peace!